Today I'm going to present our conductor project, which I've been working on with my colleagues Pramod Patotia, Hansley Post, and Rodrigo Rodriguez. One of the motivations for this project was that a while ago I wanted to run a MapReduce computation on the cloud, and there's actually plenty of documentation in terms of wikis and other how-tos and tutorials on how to do this. But there are several options how to achieve that. So for instance, I could first upload the input data to Amazon Simple Storage Service, S3, and once this is concluded, I could launch a couple of virtual machines from Amazon's EC2 virtual machine rental service, copy the data from S3 to the local hard disk of these nodes, and run my computation. And this is actually documented. Another option is to upload the data to the S3 storage service and process the data using Hadoop operating directly on top of S3. Yet another option is to first launch the virtual machine nodes and copy the data or upload the data directly to the local hard disk of these nodes. And there are actually plenty of other options you might think of, including options where you use multiple storage services to process, to store different parts of the data, and also maybe use different computation providers to for different stages of the processing or to execute different tasks. Also, I might have privately owned infrastructure like my five-node cluster under my desk, which I want to utilize to deploy that job. So given this variety of different options, the question is, what's actually the best strategy to use these cloud services? And why is answering this question challenging? There are a couple of reasons for that. So first of all, there's a huge variety of different services, like different node types for different pricing that I might rent. Also, there's an emerging number or growing number of providers that are offering these services. And all these different services may have different pricing models, performance characteristics, locations, and different interfaces. These incompatible interfaces also make it hard to use multiple services to deploy the same job. Also, it makes it hard to incorporate privately owned infrastructure, like my privately owned cluster, in conjunction with cloud resources. Finally, there are certain dynamics in the cloud that might occur during runtime. For instance, there are performance variations because of interference with other clients' virtual machines that are located on the same physical hardware, but also on spot markets. We have dynamic pricing for cloud resources. For instance, Amazon introduced dynamic pricing based on supply and demand for EC2 nodes in 2009. So in our conductor project, we aim to address all of these issues by simplifying the management of cloud resources. So first, we want to automatically optimize the resource allocation and enable the user to transparently use multiple different services simultaneously, including his own privately owned resources. Finally, we want, during runtime, automatically adapt to the dynamics that I mentioned before. For instance, these performance variations, but also we want to best leverage the spot market pricing. The rest of the talk will be organized as follows. I will next present a very high-level overview of the conductor system, then talk about how we can model computations, use different kinds of resources transparently, and finally present some evaluation results. So on the very high level, the conductor system works as follows. We have the user that, as usual, submits a job, like a MapReduce job, to a framework, such as Hadoop. Then the user also submits the same job to the conductor controller, and by that asks the conductor controller to manage the deployment of that job. Then based on the resources we have available for use, for instance, a description of the different service types the different provider offers, and the user goals, the conductor controller would generate a formal linear programming-based execution model, which is, together with the user goals, shipped to an NLP solver. These user goals might be, for instance, to minimize the runtime of the job, to minimize the monetary cost, or something in between, like a deadline before that the job has to be finished, and within these constraints to minimize the monetary cost. Based on this input, the LP solver would derive an optimal execution plan for this particular scenario and sends it back to the conductor controller. The conductor controller would then, according to the execution plan, allocate the right set of resources, and once these resources are available, deploy that job. During runtime, the conductor system monitors the execution and, if necessary, adapts the execution model and derives a new updated execution plan and then updates the deployment. So as you see, we have this feedback cycle here. So in this workflow, I'd like to focus in this talk on two important aspects. So the first is, how can we actually model these computations such that an LP solver can derive optimal execution plans? And the second aspect is, how can we transparently use these different kinds of resources in a way that is totally transparent to the frameworks? So next, I'd like to talk about modeling computations. So in general, this is very hard, because for generic computations, we don't know anything, essentially. There are a lot of unknown factors. We don't know their data access patterns. We don't know the processing time. We don't know the scalability. And there are other unknown factors. However, for a specific programming model, these factors are known, for instance, for MapReduce. So how can we model MapReduce? The cool thing about MapReduce is that it's a perfectly data-parallel processing model, and there are mostly linear dependencies between the performance of a job that we observe, the resources we use to deploy that job, and the costs acquiring these resources incur. And these mostly linear dependencies actually call for a formulation as a linear program. And that's what we do. So what we do is we consider at all the possible steps we might perform in a computation, such as storing data, transferring, processing, migrating data, and express them in a graph-based model, where we have vertices that express data storage and processing, and edges between them to express data transfer. And that's on the very, very high level how it looks like. In the beginning, we have the user, where the input data is located. The user can upload some data to some sort of storage. And once the data is there, it can flow to some sort of computation provider, where it is processed. And again, some output is generated that has to be stored. And this is, of course, a very simplifying view of the modeling that we do. And for details, I'd like to point to the paper. Next, I'd like to talk about the transparent use of different cloud resources. So on this very high level overview of the system, it looked like this. We have the frameworks, and the job is deployed somehow on the cloud. But if we look at storage, for instance, it looks different. If we have, let's say, two storage options, where we can use the S3 storage service and the local hard disk of EC2 nodes, we have two different systems with very different properties, and these cannot be accessed or used transparently by a framework such as Hadoop. What we do to solve this issue is we provide abstraction layers for both storage and computation, and in terms of storage, to let the frameworks transparently use the different storage services we enable the framework to access the storage via the abstraction layer using a uniform key value interface. And to access the storage backends, we of course use a storage backend specific interface, which in that case is a protocol we came up with. And in the case of S3, it's Amazon's provided API to access S3. Now, hiding the different services through abstraction layers has also has other advantages. For instance, we can manage these services under the hood in a way that is totally transparent to the frameworks. For instance, through this abstraction layer, we can migrate data between the different storage backends or direct the upload of the input data to a specific storage backend in a way that is totally transparent to the framework, and we can do this to fulfill the execution plan that we derived previously. Now I'd like to present some evaluation results. And in the evaluation, we wanted to answer essentially the following questions. So does it actually work? Can Conductor find optimal execution plans? And can Conductor help the user adapting to dynamics that might occur on the cloud? For instance, in terms of performance variations, but also spot pricing. Also, we wanted to answer whether Conductor helps enabling the user to run hybrid deployments. And finally, what overheads does the whole thing incur? The latter two questions I'd like to answer only very briefly in this talk. So Conductor, in fact, enables the user to use multiple different resources, simultaneously for a single job, and the overheads are sort of reasonable, both in terms of modeling and deriving optimal execution plans, and also the overheads of the resource abstraction layers that sit in between the frameworks and the actual resources. For details, I'd like to point to the paper. Now I'd like to focus on the first two questions. So can Conductor actually find optimal execution plans? And to answer that question, we look at a very simple scenario. We have a job, a k-means clustering job, that we want to deploy on the cloud to process 32 GB of input data. And the resources that we want to use to do that are the EC2 virtual machine rental service and S3 for storage. And we want this job to finish within 6 hours. And within these constraints, we want to minimize the monetary cost of deploying that job on the cloud. And what we expect from Conductor in that case is to automatically select the right set of resources during the right time to minimize the monetary cost and manage the data transfer and actually deploy the job on the cloud. So what I show you here is the monetary cost for deploying that job using EC2 and S3 depending on where the input data is stored. So on the y-axis, you see the fraction of input data stored on EC2. So here, everything is stored on S3. And here, everything is stored on the local hard disk of EC2 nodes. And what you can see here is that the minimum cost is reached when, in this scenario, roughly one-third of the data is stored on the S3 storage service, and the rest is stored on the local hard disk of EC2 nodes. And the cool thing is that Conductor was able to automatically find this optimum and also deploy it. So Conductor, when it deployed this job, stored exactly these fractions, of input data on EC2 and S3 respectively. So next, I'd like to talk about the adaptivity to dynamics that might occur in the cloud. And these dynamics can actually have several reasons. These performance variations can have several reasons. For instance, as I said before, other customers' virtual machine instances might be co-located on the same physical hardware, which might decrease our performance. Also, we might observe network congestion or failures, for instance. And to evaluate whether Conductor can adapt to these scenarios, we assumed that we overestimated the EC2 performance by the factor of 3, which means that before deploying the job, we were telling Conductor that the performance is actually 3 times higher than it is. And as a consequence, if just going ahead with that assumption, we would miss a deadline because we would allocate much fewer nodes than were actually necessary to finish the job before deadline. And that's how it looks like. So I show you two graphs here. One is the job progress throughout the runtime in terms of completed tasks. And the other one is the deployment plan that Conductor derives based on this misprediction in terms of allocated nodes throughout the runtime. So here, we start with 3 nodes, and then from the first hour on, we continue. So let's hope we can dynamically adapt to that kind of variations. So let me just start over with that slide. So we wanted to evaluate whether a Conductor can adapt to a misprediction. In that case, a misprediction of performance of EC2 nodes. So we wrongly assumed that the performance of EC2 nodes was 3 times higher than it actually is. And then obviously, if we just go ahead with that overestimation, then we would allocate much fewer nodes than we would need actually to finish the job before deadline. And that's what I show you here. So here we have job progress in terms of completed tasks throughout runtime. And this is the execution plan in terms of allocated EC2 nodes. And what you can see here is that the deadline of 6 hours is missed, as only something like slightly more than 40% of the tasks are completed by the deadline. So now, what happens when we enable Conductor's adaptivity features? Conductor then monitors the execution and measures the actual performance that we get, not only the estimated performance, but the actual performance that we observe during runtime. And then Conductor sees that the plan we had initially was based on an overestimation, so the actual performance is much lower than we observed initially. And to react to that, Conductor derives an updated execution plan, which includes running much more nodes to still catch up and finish the execution before deadline. And as a result, we finish before deadline here. So next, I'd like to talk about another dynamic, namely the spot markets with variable pricing in the cloud. So the question is, can Conductor help coping with the dynamic pricing in the cloud and make best use of them? So what we want to do is, essentially, we want to exploit these periods of low cost. Okay, let's see. I should maybe finish quickly before the next one. Okay, so where did I stop? So the question was, can Conductor help the user adapting to dynamic pricing, for instance, in spot markets? And what we want Conductor to help us with is, of course, to leverage these periods of low pricing here and avoid running computations in these periods where we have spikes in the pricing. So how can we do that? Not can Conductor help us doing that? So in order to evaluate that, what we did was we simulated the deployment of a job using EC2 spot instances. And for that, we used a spot pricing history covering roughly 4 weeks. And to evaluate how Conductor actually performs, we distinguish between 3 cases. First one is we don't use spot instances, so we only rely on the regular instances with the fixed pricing. So in order to figure out how good we can actually do, or what is the optimal of leveraging the spot pricing, we used an oracle. It's a hypothetical case which at each point in time knows about the future pricing. So if we have an oracle, we clearly know whether it makes sense to delay a computation and wait for low prices in the cloud, or to run a computation now as fast as possible because the price will increase in the future. And then we considered a more realistic case where Conductor uses a simple predictor which looks at the past pricing and tries to come up with a not so bad guess about the future pricing. And now the focus of this work was not to come up with a sophisticated predictor, but we wanted to figure out how good we can do with a very simple one. So this predictor is actually something like 20 lines of Java, and coming up with a sophisticated predictor is a totally different area of work, and we don't want to get into that. So what's the result of doing that? In this experiment, what we saw was that if we used only the regular instances, we had a fairly high price. And if we use an oracle, which is lower bound on the price, we had an average price of $2.12. And now if we let Conductor use a simple predictor, so if we looked at the realistic case where we cannot look into the future, we achieved an average price for that deployment of $12.33, which is only slightly more than the lower bound we established with the predictor, with the oracle. And from that we can conclude that Conductor can help the user in exploiting these spot market pricings. So next I'd like to summarize and conclude. The major motivation for this work was that making the best use of this variety of cloud resources is hard because there are so many of them with all different characteristics, pricing models, different providers, and it's hard to determine the right choice of resources for a given computation. In Conductor, we address these issues by leveraging operation research, namely, we automatically, for a given computation, create a linear programming-based system model, optimize for user-provided goals, and also enable the user to utilize multiple different cloud resources through resource abstraction layers. Then during runtime, we can adapt to dynamics that might occur, for instance, performance variations, but also variable pricing. And the evaluation results that are partially presented indicate that it actually works, and Conductor does a good job in automatically managing the deployments of jobs on the cloud. And in this prototype, we only focused on enabling this automatic management for MapReduce computations, but as future work, we plan on making that also possible for other frameworks and adapting this approach to other frameworks as well. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Dong Suhan from Carnegie Mellon. Nice work. Have you considered using, I was checking Amazon webpage and they have different pricing for different regions. Have you considered using different Amazon EC clouds?
At different regions?
Yeah.
Yes, of course. I mean, this is yet another factor that plays into this diversity of products we have. In this scenario, or in the way we model it, you can consider each service or each instance type to be a different service in each region with maybe similar performance characteristics, but for different pricing. So in that sense, we covered that case.
All right, so in general, is it always the case that computational costs dominate over bandwidth cost?
That's a very good question. And unfortunately, I cannot answer it because we found it very hard to come up with realistic cases of what people actually do with the cloud. So we found it very hard to find descriptions of cases of large-scale jobs that people run on the cloud. So we cannot clearly say whether the jobs that the cloud is really used for are computation or IO bound.
One more time for both his talk and being a good sport to the fire.